Welcome in the latest episode of that SEC podcast. We're back. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's our great friend, Stephen Lassen, senior editor over at Athlon Sports. Stephen, how fired up are you to make your picks for the upcoming weekend?
Mike, I'm fired up. It is a great slate of SEC action this weekend, my friend. And we also have some craziness in the world of college football with coach firings. We've got some other stuff going on. So, man, the world of college football is keeping us busy this week.
No doubt. Stephen, we got a lot to catch up on. You know, normally we just do the predictions. We do some prize picks. But we also, of course, got some big news here in the Southeastern Conference. So we'll get into that in just a second. But don't forget, Stephen, this week, all season, we are sponsored by MyBookie. So go get wiser by listening to Stephen when he breaks down and he previews and predicts these games. Run over to MyBookie. The website is mybookie.ag. Put in that promo code SEC. They're willing to give you a $500 guarantee wager. What's that mean? With that promo code SEC, put that in. Whatever you want to put in as an initial deposit, could be, I think, as low as $20. Maybe you just want to put $20 in. You lose the $20. If you put in that promo code SEC, they'll give you that $20 right back to keep on playing and keep on fading my picks. So go check them out over at MyBookie. But you know who's not going to be hitting their bookie this week, Stephen, is Jamatier. I had to make one gambling joke while I could. Shout out, and anybody that missed it, I retweeted it. I don't know if you've seen this yet, Stephen. I know you've been busy. Shout out these great fans in Oklahoma. It truly just means more, as they say. There was one lunatic sooner, and I say that with loving lunatic. Now, he went to the surgery center there in Los Angeles where Jamatier is having the surgery and left them in Oklahoma pennant. So, again, we're fanatical. Nothing wrong with it, but it's pretty wild. Thoughts on what this means for Oklahoma, Jamatier? We don't know how long he's out or anything like that, but what was your thoughts when you heard the news?
Mike, my first thought was how much this really sucks, because Mateer has been arguably the best quarterback in college football through the first couple weeks of the season. Also, you could argue Heisman front runner. Also, he is the Oklahoma offense. Not to mention, how awesome is John Mateer to get hurt in the first quarter and to play like he did against Auburn? So just adding to the legend of John Mateer, Mike. But I think if you ask me like a panic meter rating, I might set it on 7 if I'm an Oklahoma fan. But let me give you a little bit of optimism here. So first of all, if you're an Oklahoma fan, I think you should take some confidence by the fact that Michael Hawkins now has a week to get ready to play Kent State, who's pretty bad, another week to get ready to play Texas. Also, I would trust that Oklahoma has a functioning receiving core and a functioning offensive coordinator this year. So I'm going to bet that Oklahoma, I think, while they may not be as prolific offensively with Michael Hawkins in there, I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were last season. Also, thinking about the playoff here, and I know we're down the road, but the committee is supposed to take into account injuries and evaluate the potential impact that injuries could have on a team's performance during the season. So I say all that to say, I bet John Mateer is going to work like crazy to get back. I hope he's back sooner rather than later, like no pun intended. But if Oklahoma is without him for a couple games, that should be weighed into the evaluation for this team in the playoff. And also, with a very difficult schedule, I think Oklahoma is a very valuable playoff candidate at 9-3. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but if I'm an Oklahoma fan, I wouldn't just completely panic on this season just yet. It does get at my concern with Oklahoma, though, and being too reliant on Mateer. You're going to need some of those other pieces around Michael Hawkins to step up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know if you saw this, Stephen. Talk about a freak out. We had all these Tennessee fans freak out. This was supposed to be a pro Michael Hawkins tweet that I sent out. But active starting quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference, Stephen, that have a win on the road in this conference, so conference games only, right? Michael Hawkins is on the list. Beat Auburn last year on the road. And again, is that the end all be all? No, but there's not that many that have it. Gunnar Stockton, he's got one. He got it 2 weeks ago. Talon Green beat Auburn. Garrett Nussmeier, I think he's got two road wins. Austin Simmons got one against Kentucky. Lenore Sellers got one. A lot of these guys have just beat Kentucky. Diego Pavia and Marcel Reed. So that's your list. That's your list of SEC quarterbacks that have won on the road in this conference. And I get it. Joey Swagular, he had a chance. But this is not a shade at Joey Aguilar. This is just point being that Oklahoma's got someone that they can win ball games with. Can they win the national championship with Michael Hawkins? No, that's ridiculous. But can he keep this thing afloat? That was kind of the point of this. And I think there's evidence that he can.
Absolutely, Mike. I think he can keep this offense going to go with a defense that is arguably one of the best in college football. I mean, if you're Oklahoma, the next couple weeks, and you can use Kent State kind of as a testing ground, is you got to figure out your offensive line, got to figure out the rushing attack, and giving Hawkins to couple weeks to work as the starter, giving Ben Arbuckle a chance to build an offense around him, figure out what he does well. I suspect you will see, I wouldn't say an all SEC quarterback, but I think you'll see a quarterback that's more comfortable than we saw last season. So it's really about, you know, you're not going to be able to replace Mateer in that production, but how can you offset some of that? And some of that goes on defense. Some of that's Hawkins. Some of that's the run game. And really, I would assume that he's back before like November. So I think if you're talking like, if you just assume they're going to be an underdog to Texas, if you just assume they lose and maybe you put South Carolina in the toss up, you know, if you can get out of that stretch at 2-1 and get to that last stretch of the season with that hard schedule and get Mateer back and knock the rust off quick. I mean, this isn't the end of the world for Oklahoma. It certainly would be great to see him play Red River though.
Mm-hmm. And it's always great, Stephen, to see JR, the legend. His quarterback's still healthy. The shout legend. Out, JR.
Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He gifted a membership to Matt Falk. Matt, welcome to
the family.
Yeah, what a legend you are, JR. So, you better not pick against Georgia after that, Stephen. But, all right, so any final thoughts on old Mateer before we move on?
Mike, I think, you know, the timeline of this is key, you know, kind of like we talked about with that difficult schedule late in the season, Tennessee, Alabama, LSU. So it's not, this is not game over for Oklahoma and their playoff chances. If he's back for Ole Miss and Tennessee, Alabama, I still think Oklahoma is a very viable playoff team at 9-3. I think if he misses into November, we're talking about a different situation, but hopefully he's back soon and can maybe make another run at the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah. I was going to say something. I'll hold off on it, but we can discuss it next week. Remind me, Stephen, that I do, because I feel horrible for Oklahoma fans. But there may be another side to that coin. So let's hold off on that. Let's get into the latest prize picks from Steven. Go check them out. If maybe you're not into wagering on the games like my bookie, then we got an alternative for you with Prize Picks. So what is Prize Picks? It's daily fantasy sports, and they set projections for what a player may accomplish, passing yards, passing touchdowns, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns. And all you have to do is select the more than or less than, and you can win big bucks over at Prize Picks. So go check them out, prizepicks.com, promo code SEC. If you play $5, they'll give you 50 immediately with that promo code SEC. So this week, Stephen, let's hear your Prize Pick selections for week 5 in the SEC.
Mike, let's start with what I think is going to be a high-scoring game in Fayetteville on Saturday. Let's go Taylen Green, 268.5. I'm going to take the more than side of this. I'm expecting a lot of points. I think Taylen Green is going to be the centerpiece of this Arkansas attack on Saturday. So I'm going more than 265.8. I'm also going to Mike's favorite team, Notre Dame. I'm going to take the running back, Jeremiah Love. He's at 100.5 in rushing yards. Give me the more than side of that. I think he might be the best or one of the best running backs in college football. So, Mike, those are my two plays from Arkansas, Notre Dame. I've got a few more, but any thoughts on those?
Well, first of all, how dare you? That would be number one. But no, serious. I mean, good night. Let me throw up the little preview here. I mean, Arkansas, what is their rush defense is 107th efficiency in the nation. So, yeah, I think it's a safe wager. And based on Memphis being able to run all over us like they were, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, I think it's a fair assessment. I hate it. I absolutely hate it, Stephen. And I'll never pick Notre Dame to do anything good ever again. But you picked it, not me. But I'm saying that's probably a good pick.
I was the idiot who took Notre Dame last time to beat Texas A&M. So maybe you shouldn't listen to me on all things Fighting Irish. Mike, I'm going to go down to Starkville for a couple plays here. I think another game that could feature some points. I like Joey Aguilar. He's at 1.5 passing touchdowns. I think he's going to throw at least two in this game. So give me Joey Aguilar more than. Also, give me, and this is a little high, but I like Chris Brazel, 74.5. And the way that I think about this is, Mike, if you just get one big play from a receiver like him, like we saw against Georgia, there's 50 yards already. He catches another pass, there's almost 80. So I like the play here because I think Tennessee can hit some big plays against Mississippi State on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Brazel and Joey Swagular, they're already turning into Tennessee legends. And that's quite an accomplishment because we got a Tennessee Legends in the comp in the comment section. We appreciate you. Proud sponsor, official spirit of that SEC podcast. Steven, they gifted 5 memberships. Shout out Rebs by 90. Awoken. I hope I didn't butcher that too bad. Chris Turner, Pine Belt Adventures, and Chase Monroe. You've all been gifted memberships by the great Tennessee legend. Welcome to
the family.
Yeah, shout out the best sponsor out there, Tennessee Legends. We appreciate you. But
five memberships, one for every touchdown Aguilar is going to throw, right?
Exactly. Well, I don't know. We've got some Hail State fans in here. They don't like to hear those comments, but could be true. You know what?
Yeah, I think we could have 5 from Shapen too, right? We could have a good back and forth battle between two fun offenses.
No doubt. All right, you got any more prize picks for us?
Mike, I got a few more winners. Let's go to South Carolina. Let's take Lenore Sellers. He is at 0.5. All you need is one. I think Lenore Sellers, we saw him last week, got on track a little bit. Maybe that carries over this week against Kentucky. I like him to get at least one passing touchdown. That's all you need. I'm going to go to a couple receiver plays here, Mike. Mario Craver, he is at 67.5. Give me the more than side of that on Saturday. I think we've seen Auburn has had some trouble with the pass this year. We saw it against Baylor. We saw it against Oklahoma. So I think Mario Craver coming off that big performance against Notre Dame, he hits the more than side. And I am going to take Ryan Williams on Saturday night, 62.5. Here's my thinking. It's kind of like Chris Brazel. All you need is one big play. We remember that play that he made against Georgia last year, and I can't get Tennessee's Tennessee George out of my head. I think Ryan Williams can get at least one big play on Saturday.
Ooh. I like it, Steven, because I think we're going to have some entertaining and high-scoring ball games here in the SEC. Defense is apparently optional this season, outside of LSU, Texas, and Oklahoma, but everywhere else, it seems like high scoring is the way to go. You know what?
It really does. It is a great year for quarterbacks, but also think that, you know, some of these receivers too, like, we've seen Jeremy Bernard, we've seen Ryan Williams, Craver, Concepcion, the two guys at Auburn. Like, it's a nice year for passing games here too, around the SEC. You mentioned, you know, Jeremy Bernard. On Prize Picks, he's at 3.5 receptions. I think there's a chance that more than is a nice play too on Saturday.
Right. Yeah, because I think Alabama's got, they can't play conservative. They got to come out, score a lot of points. We've already seen Gunner and Mike Bobo. Remember 3 weeks ago we wanted Mike, not us, but a lot of fans wanted Mike Bobo out the door. He looked like $1 million in Neyland Stadium dialing up some winners. You know what?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Funny how that changes. This is like the coordinator, you know, offensive coordinator can go from like, he's the next star. He's our, you know, he's our guy to, man, that guy should be fired within one series. So it's hard to be OCDC, but I think Bobo's pretty solid. I don't know that, you know, like, is he like maybe the most exciting coordinator at times? But I think he does a pretty good job there at Georgia and certainly against Tennessee a few weeks ago.
Right. All right, Steven, are you ready to make your predictions for week 5 in the SEC?
I'm ready. I got one game I'm still undecided on, so we'll have to talk through it.
Well, I hope it's not Missouri hosting UMass, Steven. This is going to be a night game in Columbia, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on ESPNU. Mizzou favored by 43, just 43 and a half. Over-unders 56 and a half, I believe. Yeah, 56 and a half. How bad's Mizzou going to whip old UMass?
43 in the spread. How many rushing yards is Ahmad Hardy going to get the first series of the game? Probably more than that, right? Mike, Missouri can call it shot here. UMass might be the worst team in the country. They have scored 17 points in two games against FBS competition this year. Still looking for that first touchdown pass for UMass. Also, say hello to old SEC friend Rocco Griffin. He's the starting running back for UMass. He played at Vanderbilt a few years ago. All that to be said, Mike, Missouri can really call it shot here. This is about Prabula, Hardy, getting some work, getting out of the game, emptying the bench, keeping everybody healthy because you get Alabama coming in a couple weeks. So Missouri cruises to 5-0. No concerns here. Give me Missouri 52, UMass 7.
So that's a cover even.
I like him to cover. I think just the way this offense has been a machine, UMass can't score. This one's going to be ugly.
Dangerous combination.
You're right. <yeah.
laughs> Okay. I'm not disputing it. I'm just marveling at what a machine Missouri has turned into. Yeah. Speaking of another machine, Steven, that many did not see coming. How about Vanderbilt, Steven, hosting Utah State? Vanderbilt favored by 21.5 points, 60.5 total points is the over-under. This game kicks off at 12:45, 11:45 Central on the SEC Network. How bad's Diego and the boys going to whip this team?
Mike, much like Missouri, Vanderbilt is going to take care of business. So Vanderbilt trying to go 5-0 for the first time since 2008. The last time they did it before then was 1943.
Wow. They're
setting all kinds of crazy records here. Also, I believe 1930 was the last time they won four games in a row by 20 or more points. So this would be the fifth one if they win by that on Saturday. We saw Utah State play Texas A&M a few weeks ago. I think Utah State's better than Georgia State, but I think Vanderbilt is a machine right now. And we've seen with what they've been doing on defense, offense, one of the top success rates in the country. Also, this Vanderbilt team is deep too, and I think that matters, like when you're talking like third, fourth quarter for potential covers. So Vanderbilt is rolling, much like Missouri. It's key to get Pavia and the starters some work, get them out, stay healthy for Alabama. I like Vanderbilt 41, Utah State 13.
Ooh. I mean, this likely isn't going to happen, Steven, but could you imagine Vanderbilt hosting Missouri, like the game of the year in the SEC, and maybe a preview of the SEC. I mean, again, I'm kind of kidding, but not really. I mean, that literally could happen this year. I mean, that wouldn't be the craziest thing we've ever seen, would it?
No. I mean, we laugh about like how absurd like the thought is at first, but then you go, wow. I mean, in a 16-team conference with schedules all kind of jumbled, if you catch teams at the right time, you can get to 7-1 in the conference. I mean, these two teams have played, you talk just like way the season has gone, not many things have gone wrong for either one. So, it's shaping up to be a pretty important game in the SEC. So I'd be curious to see when we get there, where they are in the standings and what it means.
I'm envisioning it now, Steven. I have to close my eyes to do it. Look, we got Bama gets completely annihilated by Georgia this weekend, right? Again, I'm not saying that happens. I'm envisioning this in my mind's eye. They get decimated. You know, players quit. Hell, they quit seemingly against Florida State. And then what? Next week, Vanderbilt. The next week, Missouri. You know, This is the game. Well, LSU too. But I mean, that would be the toughest hurdle, I would think, for both Vanderbilt and Missouri to be undefeated. Missouri would have to win at Auburn as well. So again, not a given by any means. But shout out Gabriel. He says, "Hey, College Game Day."
Yeah.
If it's Missouri Vanderbilt, they're both undefeated. They might as well cancel the damn show if Game Day doesn't come to Nashville for that one.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we know Diego Pavia has already stolen the soul of Alabama, so he's bound to do that again next week, right?
All right, Fantasy Island, we're done with that. How about this one, Steven? Now we're really ramping up. Every other game I'm super excited to watch because I think many, many toss-ups here among the games on Saturday in the Southeastern Conference, and we're going to continue with the non-conference matchup here, Stephen. Number 22, Notre Dame at Arkansas. Noon Eastern, 11 a.m. kickoff here in Fayetteville. Notre Dame, only a 3.5-point favorite as I currently have it. I mean, this line opened up much larger, but right now, 3.5, over under, 64.5. First meeting in program history. Thoughts on this matchup, Stephen?
Mike, I think the first thing that comes to my mind here is when I look at the schedule for Arkansas and I see next week is an off week and I go, is this the last chance for Sam Pittman? And, you know, there's a lot that plays into it, whether it's portal or red shirts and all that stuff. So there's a lot of factors there, but I think it's pretty clear Arkansas is getting restless. The fan base is certainly getting restless. Now, all that to be said, they are two plays away or two drives from being 4-0 and in the top 15. Of college football. So for all that's gone wrong, they're not that far if they can finish the job on Saturday to beat Notre Dame and sort of turn the page a little bit to maybe like the second half of the season and the stretch run. So it's not all bad. So I think I'm wondering, like, from a psychological standpoint, kind of where is Arkansas at this point? Because they've had the two tough losses trying to come back. Here comes Notre Dame. Notre Dame has kind of righted the ship a little bit. Like, they lost, and they lost to Miami. They lost to Texas A&M. They beat Purdue last week. Purdue's not very good. But I do think some of the questions that we had about Notre Dame offensively have been answered. CJ Carr has played really well, and he's getting better every week. There's still a ton of questions about the defense, which brings me to what I think we're going to see on Saturday is a lot of points. Neither team is great on defense right now. Notre Dame giving up about 33 points a game. This was one of the best defenses in the country last year. They might also be thin in the secondary with Leonard Moore, their top cornerback, who's banged up. All this tells me there's going to be some serious offense. So I guess my question is, who do you trust more on defense? Do you trust Notre Dame? Do you trust Arkansas? Does Taylen Green make one play in the fourth quarter that swings this game to Arkansas? Or does Notre Dame's rushing attack and defense end up winning out in the fourth quarter? So I'm going to take Notre Dame, Mike.
Oh, come on, Steven. What the hell?
I trust Notre Dame's defense to get a stop or two in the fourth quarter when it matters. I do think Arkansas is going to land some punches, but I think this game might be tied. It might be close. But I think Notre Dame with Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, that 1-2 punch, and the defense eventually does enough. So give me Notre Dame 34, Arkansas 30. And really the difference is I just think Notre Dame will get the stop they need on defense in the fourth quarter.
What's your level of surprise, though? Like I said, the spread is currently down to 3.5 when it opened. I can't recall what it was exactly, but I think it was like 7 or 8 or something. You know, it's just the fact that it keeps dropping. It's not necessarily have any meaning on the game itself, but does that surprise you at all?
A little bit. I kind of figured it would stay higher. There could be some, I think there might be some confidence in Arkansas at home. Also, sort of looking beyond the result and looking at the way the games have played out, you know, seeing how Arkansas has moved the ball, seeing the lack of confidence in Notre Dame's defense. You know, if you're looking at like from a Vegas, they're probably doing more of a power rating and sort of saying, forget about the result. Let's look at how they played. And you're seeing that they match up well. But given that, I am surprised that there is that kind of money coming in for that spread to be lower, because I would have guessed that Notre Dame would have been able to, or the bettors would have kept Notre Dame closer to a touchdown favorite here.
Right. So, I mean, just for anybody that doesn't know, I assume most of you do, but hey, maybe you don't. Notre Dame, very popular with casuals. So, you know, if you don't follow college football that closely, but you see Notre Dame, you recognize the name, you bet on it, that always is going to prop them up on the betting market. So the fact that it's gone the reverse, to Stephen's point, indicates there's a lot of money coming in on Arkansas. So interesting. Very interesting, Stephen. I think this is a toss-up. Of course, unfortunately, we know Sam Pittman's record's not very good in toss-ups. But, heck, Notre Dame's record's not that good this year in toss-ups either. So, yeah. So there you go. You can split it both ways.
Here's something to consider. Like, forget about my rankings and everybody else's power ratings. So on Bill Connolly's SP Plus, these two teams are back-to-back. They're 21 and 22 in overall rating. So to some extent, that kind of gets at, like, if you're a better or you're Vegas, you're looking at these two teams and saying, like, just put aside the results, like how they play. They've lost close. I know Arkansas fans are kind of out on Pittman. They're probably saying, man, this Notre Dame defense isn't very good, and Taylen Green can probably move the ball up and down. And when you see ratings like that, it kind of gets at what you're saying. This looks like a toss-up on paper to me.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope you're wrong, Stephen. I hope you're wrong. All right, how about now getting into conference play, Stephen? My favorite games, the best games always in the Southeastern Conference. Kentucky at South Carolina, Stephen, night game in Columbia, 7:45 Eastern, 6:45 Central, SEC Network. The Gamecocks favored by 6.5 points, the over-under 46.5. By far the lowest over-under we have this weekend in the Southeastern Conference. And these two are no strangers to each other. The Bamer Sunglass Bowl, if you will. Man, these two do not like each other. And it goes without saying, Stephen, this is probably like a winner-go-home type game for both of these teams. Carolina cannot afford to drop a third consecutive conference game and have any kind of good season. Meanwhile, Kentucky is just entering the gauntlet. Who wins it?
Mike, I think you said something critical there, which is, you know, both teams don't like each other. So I'm interested, like, the post-game trolling. You know, we've seen the Sunglasses Bowl. I can't wait to see the winner troll again on Saturday night. So I think the question is, like, does Kentucky add to South Carolina's misery here? Like, drop them to 0-3 in conference play? Or is this kind of the start of the second half surge like we see for South Carolina? And, you know, Kentucky, I think the optimism ought to be, you've had a couple weeks now to get Boley acclimated at quarterback. You can see what he, you know, we saw him play against Eastern Michigan. He's had an off week. South Carolina couldn't stop the run last week. It should be a good week to be Seth McGowan and Dante Dowdell. That 1-2 punch and maybe some confidence in Boley, if you're Kentucky, should give you some optimism that you can go into Columbia and make this a game. I think if you're South Carolina, it's pretty simple. If you fix your rush defense issues, I would force the young quarterback to say, you got to win this game on the road. You make the plays to beat us. And if you beat us, we'll tip our cap and we'll walk away with a loss. But you're not going to let the running game beat you. So if I'm South Carolina, Boley's got to beat us here. I think if you're you're South Carolina from an offensive standpoint, the run game has got to be better this week. You can't have -9 yards. You know, Sellers can only carry you so far. It's the same thing we talk about with Mateer. You've got to have more help around you. I think South Carolina will run for more than -9 yards. I'm not expecting a ton, but I think they'll be better. And I think at home, a night game, Sellers maybe finding that next level like we saw last week against Missouri. I like South Carolina to get back into the win column. So give me South Carolina 27, Kentucky 20.
What's your level of surprise that Kentucky has fallen off so much on the defensive side of the football? I know they've been forcing turnovers last couple games, you know, interceptions. I'm not saying they're like awful, but that used to be the blueprint of this program, and it just seems like it has really fallen off. Brad White was one of the hottest defensive coordinator candidates in the country not that long ago. Does it surprise you, the drop-off there in Kentucky's defense?
It does, because if anything, it's almost like you just expect Brad White and Stoops to be able to build solid defenses, right? I mean, like, we think about some of these teams, and I mean, we can, you always expect Georgia to have a good running game. You always expect Alabama to almost like have a good defense, and sort of like those staples. And so when those staples start to fall off, that's kind of a bigger indication, I think, of kind of where things are. So your defense isn't as good, which kind of puts the emphasis back on finding out or figuring out the offense, and they haven't been able to do that. So that is a real concern for me when you look at just what they've done this season and trying to go against Sellers on Saturday night too.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of hit on this already, but while the defense is a disappointment, I would say, for Kentucky, although it's too early to really say that, but kind of basing it on last year, basing it on what I've seen this year, where they have improved and where they have invested is the offensive line and running back, and they're doing really, really well. And you mentioned Carolina, you got to shore up those issues. But what's your confidence, or lack thereof, that South Carolina can get that corrected in a week's time?
I think, you know, maybe on the defensive fall, Mike, and I think what's interesting is like to contrast that with offensive line transfers. And if I think about Kentucky, I think about being able to home grow that talent, recruit it, develop it. They play a little bit, they get better junior, senior. And I think that's true in the offensive line. So the fact that Kentucky has been able to kind of microwave some transfers and turn it into an effective offensive line and rushing attack, that's one of the probably better success stories here for this team this season. So I think about that, and I think about with South Carolina's defense, I don't think this defense is as bad as it played against the run last week. I think Hardy and Roberts are just a better 1-2 punch. Maybe for South Carolina, maybe there's not the quarterback respect this week. Like, you're not giving Boley probably the respect that you gave Prabula. So in that instance, maybe it's a little bit easier to defend. But I think to your point, we came into the season worried that they lost these guys at defensive tackle, these guys at linebacker, the heart of your defense. And I think last week kind of showed that there's still some shoring up needed there.
And final thing I've got for you, Stephen, is there, I'm not talking about firing, because, you know, there's a couple coaches, Napier, Pittman, that, you know, at any day, literally, could lose their jobs and we wouldn't necessarily be stunned or anything. But could you make the argument that South Carolina and their coaching staff and their just maybe the entire program, there's nobody that needs to win more in the Southeastern Conference than South Carolina?
I was going to say, does Mike Shula need a good win here? But I think you're getting at something, though, which is South Carolina typically takes off in the second half of the season. And a loss here just puts this team into a bigger second half hole to dig out of. So I do think that given the preseason expectations, given you've got Lenora Sellers for X amount of games, like, you got to maximize that. They desperately need to get this one because it doesn't get any easier from here.
Mm-mm. No, it does not. Speaking of not getting any easier, Stephen, credit this team for getting where they're at, but it's about to get a lot harder. How about Tennessee at Mississippi State? Undefeated Mississippi State. That's who I was talking about there. 4:15 Eastern, 3:15 Central on the SEC Network. The number 15 Vols favored by 7.5 points. The over-under, 63.5 total points. How about it, Stephen? Who do you like, Tennessee or Mississippi State?
Should I choose my prediction carefully here? shout out to Tennessee legends there. Mike, I think we're in for some offensive fireworks here. Blake Shapen and Joey Aguilar are both in the top 30 of yards per passing attempt. In other words, they're not afraid to chuck it downfield. So I think we could see some big plays in the passing game by both teams here. Also, I think the spread has moved a little bit in favor of Mississippi State this week. I think it was like 10, and it's moved down to like around a touchdown. So much like Arkansas Notre Dame, there seems to be some confidence here on Mississippi State. They're at home. They picked off Arizona State. It's clear their defense is much improved. I also think you could look at that and say Tennessee's the best team they've played, and it's probably not close. Arizona State's not a top 25 team right now. Tennessee's closer to top 10 to 15-ish this season. So it's a pretty significant challenge here. I wonder about Mississippi State. Like, can they match up offensive line with this Tennessee defensive front? I think it's the best they played this year. I also worry about Tennessee secondary and the injuries it has, because I think Chapin and Mississippi State's receivers at home, they can hit a few bombs. They keep the crowd in it. All of a sudden, this game gets a lot interesting. So I think high scoring, I got my eye on turnovers. Tennessee has lost 6 so far this year. Mississippi State has lost 2. So I think at home, there's your formula. Win turnovers, win the big plays, and get a couple stops in a game that could be in the 30s. I think Mississippi State jumps on Tennessee. I think they take the lead. I think Tennessee fights back, though. It's a 4-quarter game. Vols in the second half take control. I'll take Tennessee 34, Mississippi State 27.
Ooh. It's not even covered?
I wrestled with that one. It's like, man, Mississippi State's at home. They're so much better. But Tennessee's more battle-tested by the Georgia game. So mm-hmm. I went back and forth. Now, I thought about bumping up Tennessee a notch and giving them maybe like a 8 or 10-point victory here.
Yeah, I like what you said, though, because I was going to ask you, you kind of answered it for me, but if Tennessee were to jump out to a fast start like they have essentially in every game this year, even Georgia, they jumped right on them. I think they're averaging like 24 points in the first quarter, something crazy like that. If they have a first quarter where they score 20 or more points, I think it's safe to say Mississippi State doesn't have a chance. Would you agree with that?
I agree with you. Think about the Arizona State game, because it was important for Mississippi State to get the lead, to keep the crowd in it, and it helped them, especially in the second half when Arizona State was starting to make its comeback. So I think here, like, the home field is an X factor here for Mississippi State. Tennessee hasn't played here in a long time. You know, if you can keep the crowd in it for 4 quarters, you got a chance. So I fast starts for Tennessee, getting ahead early. And then if you're Tennessee getting behind, if you can kind of like navigate that crowd, kind of ride the wave a little bit, there's going to be some ups and downs. Should also note, Mike, you know, I do wonder a little bit about the rushing attack for both teams in this game, because, you know, you think about what Georgia was able to do on the ground against Tennessee. Think about like Fluff Bothwell, you know, what he's been able to do this year. So I think there's a chance here. Like Mississippi State, I think their running backs are underrated. Maybe they find a little bit of running room. And I am worried about Tennessee's injuries at corner as well.
Right. Hey, well, you're getting challenged in the comments, Stephen. Appreciate you, Mr. Sip. $10. What are you willing to wager, Stephen? And then Cousin Sam came in. He's betting $1,000 on Tennessee. So there you go, Mr. Sip. There's all the action you need. And I know we're sponsored by my bookie. We'll be your bookie and take a small percentage if you guys want to do it.
I like the way you're thinking.
But no, I mean, this really should be a good game. Let's say, and I don't think it would be like a miracle or anything, but let's say Mississippi State wins. What's the ceiling for Mississippi State if they're good enough to beat Tennessee in Starkville?
I think let me take a step back here. I included Mississippi State in my bowl projections the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. If they win this game, they'll be 5-0. I think instead of just thinking just getting to 6-6 is good, I think we have to think they could at least get to 7-8 wins maybe. Because
Florida's falling apart.
Right, right.
Arkansas may be falling apart.
Yeah, and I think Egg Bowl, I mean, who the right. heck knows? So I think a win here only upgrades your season expectations for Mississippi State. If you win this one, I think you got to start thinking a little bit higher than just 6-6.
And then, hey, let's do the flip side. To be fair, for Tennessee, if you're winning on the road, that's very difficult to do in this conference. And we're certainly not celebrating any kind of John Mateer injury. But when you're looking at Tennessee's schedule, at Alabama is, I would argue, the most difficult challenge. But I would argue the second most difficult is Oklahoma. And we don't know who the quarterback is going to be. I hope it is John Mateer, and I hope he's 100% by then. But if it's not, again, if you're telling me they're 4-1 and they've already got one road victory, man, the path to returning to the college football playoff, it's looking very clear, don't you think?
I think it is. I think Tennessee has been one of the bigger schedule winners of the season, you know, based upon the way things played out. Because when we came into the year, it was Florida, Alabama, Georgia were the three toughest games. And after you beat it, you know, if you beat Mississippi State on Saturday, Alabama, I think, is much more in the toss-up category, and certainly Florida at this point. And then your remaining road game is Kentucky. Vanderbilt and Oklahoma will be tough, of course. But I think there's not a game on the schedule that Tennessee can't win. I think is maybe the best way to sum it up. Is that fair?
I think that's very fair. And Cousin Shane's not in here, but he's nodding his head in approval, Stephen.
Tennessee legend Cousin Shane, huh?
Another legend here for the wrong reason. You freeze in Auburn. Going on the road, Stephen, after a tough, tough loss last week to Oklahoma. Auburn, though, oh, man, they're not ranked anymore. I thought, man, that's how stupid. Again, that's a tangent, but you lose a hard-fought game on the road to a top 20 team. You're not ranked anymore. That's stupid. But anyway, Auburn at number 9, Texas A&M. Stephen, 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central on ESPN. A&M favored by 6.5 points, over under 52.5. Who do you like in this matchup? Another critical one on the slate.
Mike, I think the first thing that jumps out here is the timing of this game. You know, for Auburn to come off the road loss to Oklahoma to turn around and go to College Station is a pretty tough two-game stretch here. Whereas if you're Texas A&M, you beat Notre Dame, you've had 2 weeks to think about it. You've had 2 weeks to get it out of your system. I'm sure Mike Elko has worked the guys in College Station pretty hard over to make them forget it. And now they're focused back on the SEC opener for Auburn. So the fact it's at home, they've had 2 weeks now. I love the timing for Texas A&M. Don't love the timing for Auburn. Maybe you could spin it as Auburn had a lot that went wrong on the officiating side against Oklahoma, and they should be eager to get back out there. So I think we're in for a real battle here. The first thing that from a matchup perspective that jumps out to me is I went and kind of compared A&M and Oklahoma when thinking about this game. And I think number one, the challenge that Texas A&M presents is going to be a little different because the offensive line and rushing attack. They're a little bit, maybe an understatement. They're better balanced than what Oklahoma can bring to the table. It's clear Marcel Reed took a step forward in the offseason. The receivers for A&M are much improved. So for an Auburn team that's 99th or so in the country in defensive pass success rate, this is a really hard matchup. And then you compound that with what A&M can do at the line of scrimmage and the rushing attack. I think this is a harder matchup for Auburn, especially with the way they can hurt you. Now, Texas A&M probably isn't going to get 9 sacks this week. Let's go there. Auburn's offense may find it a little bit easier to get some yardage. So I think the play here, Mike, is great receivers for both teams, Auburn and A&M, four of the best in the SEC. I think both Marcel Reed and Jackson Arnold hit some plays. I think the difference in the game is Texas A&M is at home. I think Marcel Reed makes a play or two through the air in the second half that wins this game, and the trenches on the offensive side for A&M hold up in the fourth quarter. So I like Texas A&M 30, Auburn 23.
Ooh, buddy. And we'll see, man. We'll see. You know, one thing I've heard, blame the offensive line at Auburn. I've heard blame Jackson Arnold. I haven't heard much blame for Hugh Freeze for not adjusting and calling plays that get the ball out of his quarterback's hand a little bit quicker, because that's what he should have done last week. We'll see if he does it this week. Now, again, to your point, I don't think A&M's getting that many sacks. That, you know, they've got Cassius Howell. I don't know how many other elite pass rushers they have right now, but, you know, he could be a critical factor in this game. If he takes over, it could be a long day for old Jackson Arnold again. But I really think, Steven, if Auburn can run the football, which all these teams seemingly have done so far to Texas A&M, that's their ticket to going on the road and pulling this upset. Would you agree?
I want to agree with you there. And I was going to mention, I know that Oklahoma's front was awesome last week, but it is a little hard for me to imagine that Jeremiah Cobb like had that one long run and then they didn't, you know, try to maybe establish it a little bit more in that game. Now, granted, they had a hard time blocking, but I think they're going to have a little bit easier time on Saturday with pass protection and rushing, whether it's Cobb or whoever is handling the carries. So I think if you're making the case for Auburn and trying to be optimistic, is Texas A&M's defense is not as good as Oklahoma's. They can have a little bit more balance. UTSA ran for over 200 yards, 136 for Notre Dame 2 weeks ago. There will be more opportunities to have balance and take some of that pressure off Jackson Arnold.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know who's there's not pressure on, Steven, not on this show. And that's for B-Dad from Boomer. He gifted a membership to Tiger Boy. Tiger, welcome to
the family.
Yeah, courtesy of B-Dad from Boomer. We appreciate you. And we also appreciate Peyton Brooks, $10. Appreciate you. I look for Auburn to shock those pretend soldiers this weekend. Boomer.
I haven't seen a ton of Auburn optimism this week, so it's good to see Peyton there. It seems like a lot of Auburn fans are not too optimistic about their chances. Is that fair?
I think they're still upset about these refs.
Yeah. Understandably so.
That's all I've heard from them. But, I mean, I think this is a true toss-up. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me either way who wins this game. It really wouldn't.
So I think they've alternated wins and losses over the last 4 years in the series. So it's like, if you go by that, it's Texas A&M's time to win. Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. A&M, this was a great game last year too. Yeah. A&M coming back from being down early. So maybe a little bit of revenge on the mind for Texas A&M here too.
And how about this stat, Stephen? Auburn has not beaten a ranked team on the road since 2021. Mm.
You know, maybe there's also another kind of way to look at this and seeing that stat on ranked games. What about if you're Auburn, thinking that you're the underdog? There's like no pressure really this week. Like, it's got to be on all Texas A&M. Is that fair?
1,000%. Yeah, they go right back to Texas 8-4 if they lose this game. I really do think.
Yeah, great point. I mean, Auburn could come in there, no pressure this week. Now, granted, all the ref and stuff, that's going to pop up, and you don't want that to be a distraction. But all the pressure's on A&M coming off the Notre Dame victory. You get Auburn at home, you're favored. Everybody's kind of counting Auburn out. So good chance to play spoiler if you're Hugh Freeze.
Well, speaking of spoiler, who hopes to be a spoiler this weekend, Steven, is our other Steven.
Steven up! Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven up. He gifted a membership to Peyton Brooks. Peyton, welcome to
the family.
Yeah, Steven Up showed up just in time. We haven't got to the Alabama game yet, but we're about to get there. So we appreciate you. And he updated his profile pic, too. That's pretty cool. All right, one other game before we get to the Alabama one, Steven. How about another epic showdown here? LSU on the road at Ole Miss. The only battle of undefeateds here in the Southeastern Conference this weekend. Number 4 LSU, number 13 Ole Miss. Ole Miss, a 1.5 point favorite at home, over under 54.5. 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central, nationally televised on ABC. Who do you like in this one?
I was hoping you would save this game for last, because I haven't decided who I liked in this one. Man, the last two games in this series have been awesome. And I hope, if nothing else, we get another four-quarter game that goes down to the wire this week. It looks like that Trinidad Chambliss is going to get the start for Ole Miss. I don't think there's a ton of surprise in that, just given Austin Simmons and the recovery. I think what's interesting about this quarterback situation for Ole Miss is, number one, the LSU defense is significantly better than Arkansas and Tulane. You can also have some skepticism because Clemson has looked very bad since that season opener. So just how good is LSU and just how good is this defense? I think it's fair to be slightly skeptical. If they win this Saturday, that answers a lot of questions. I think there's also a kind of what if with Ole Miss too, just because they beat Georgia State, they beat Kentucky, maybe a little fortunate to beat Arkansas, and they beat Tulane. But they've kept it rolling with Chambliss. And I think now that he's kind of settled in, his ability to hurt on the ground, through the air, this is going to be the toughest challenge for this LSU defense. So I think there's a lot of variables here that we're still trying to figure out. And I think that's why this is maybe the hardest game for me to figure out this week. Throw in LSU's offense. I mean, it looked great last week, but it didn't look very good earlier this year. So how hurt was Garrett Nussmeier? Are they going to be able to run the ball? Caden Durham's banged up. Ole Miss is 16th in the SEC against the run. Mike, what I'm getting at is, this is why this is the hardest game to figure out for me this week. Because I go through all these questions, and it just leads me back to more questions. So I kind of just went with my first instinct. And my first instinct said to take LSU. So I'm taking LSU 27-24. Honestly, I think it's a coin flip toss up. It could go either way. I think I'm going to kind of bank on Nussmeier looking a lot like the quarterback we thought we would see this preseason. We saw it last week. It continues this week. And the offensive line for LSU holds up just enough. And the defense for LSU makes a kind of a stop or two in the second half that wins this game.
Ole Miss says, can't spell Lassen without big fat L.
Hey, been wrong many a time. So.
But needless to say, you would not be surprised based on your consternation on this game. You would not be surprised at all if Ole Miss wins it, right?
100%. I have changed my prediction. I'm not kidding. I've changed it three times now. So this is Wednesday. I changed it on Monday. I had, Sunday, I wrote down LSU, changed it on Monday to Ole Miss, and now changed it back to LSU. So I'm all over the map. This one's probably it's the hardest game to predict this week, but maybe the hardest game that we've had to figure out this season, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you reference Ole Miss struggles to stop the run. But I didn't hear you say LSU struggles to run the football. So yeah. Even it's like weakness on weakness. I don't know what to make of that. I'm still not sold. As good as LSU's defense looked, they look maybe the best defense in the conference. Their offense is a mess. I know Xavion Thomas, you know, he's looking good. Nick Anderson, I believe he's had a couple touchdowns, but he's not looked that good. Berrion Brown's a lot of drops, same reputation he had at Kentucky. Offensive lines, Caden Durham banged up. I think he should be fine based on what I've heard, but again, should be fine. And then you get, hell, Kiffin says his quarterback also has been fine for 2 weeks. We haven't seen him, you know what I mean? So I don't know how much stock to put in all of that, but point being, I don't know either, Steven. I haven't made my pick for this game, but let me ask you this. I asked Cousin Shane something similar. I think it like blew his mind. He couldn't think straight. But if LSU were to win this game, I think it has to come with Garrett Nussmeier having a big performance and leading the Tigers to the victory. Would he insert himself? He's already, I guess, in the Heisman conversation. I don't, but would he be kind of the front runner? Perhaps. Let's say he has a epic performance, you know, a fourth quarter comeback, and insert whatever statistics you want, like 300 yards, three touchdowns or something. Would he be considered maybe the front runner for the Heisman if he's able to win this game?
I think you have to put him near the top of the board. If you just look at the way last week played out, Fernando Mendoza, Indiana's quarterback, had a huge game against Illinois. He went from, you know, wherever to first or second, depending on where the odds are. Given Mateer's injury, it is very wide open to win the Heisman Trophy right now. And so seeing Nussmeier, a quarterback that was one of the favorites in the preseason, perform pretty well in a high profile spot, yeah, I think his Heisman odds would significantly go closer to the favorite status. Want to point out, Mike, I mean, Georgia State, Kentucky, and throw Tulane in there. I think Jake Retzlaff's pretty solid for Tulane. But none of those quarterbacks are in the caliber of Garrett Nussmeier. And Arkansas with Taylen Green threw for 305 yards on this defense. And I think LSU's passing game potentially is better if Nussmeier is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for like, what do we know about these two teams? I think we know Ole Miss has a good offense. I think we think Nussmeier is back to 100%. We think LSU's got a good defense. There's a lot of thinking in there. And Ole Miss came into the year with a lot of turnover on defense. And the one game that they played a competent offense, I would say it's Arkansas, they gave up 35 points and might have given up 42 if Arkansas can hold on to the ball.
Right.
And that would worry me a little bit if I'm Ole Miss here. Is like, if LSU's getting right at the right time and Nussmeier's throwing darts on Saturday, this could be a tough task for this defense.
Now, let me flip it the other side, though. If Ole Miss wins it, how much will you be considering, oh, man, maybe LSU is maybe not overrated, because we got to credit Ole Miss for getting the win, but maybe they're a product of what appeared at the time. Ooh, big win over Florida. Well, I mean, that's a dumpster fire that's going down the river right now. Clemson, well, just about the same damn thing. But point being, you know, if Ole Miss wins this one, It could be that Ole Miss is a legit top five, top 10 team, and LSU's quite not there. And I asked you this with another team. I'll ask you the same thing. If Ole Miss secures this win at home, gets to 5-0, where they've beaten LSU the last two times in Oxford, if they can do it again, get to 5-0, how likely is it, do you think, Ole Miss can reach the college football playoff this season?
I think it's pretty likely if they win this game, and I'll just say from my perspective, if Ole Miss wins this game on Saturday, they are going to be in my playoff projections on Sunday. Because if you're 5-0 and you just beat a top five-ish type team, then number one, you're going to go into my top 10. Number two, you're going to be a playoff team. Because Georgia is probably the only game on the schedule that they are, I would say that, likely to be a loss. Let's see what Georgia's defense, how it progresses. We'll see about Oklahoma with Mateer, and they have the Egg Bowl on the road at the end of the year. But that's a pretty favorable schedule. If you can beat LSU, I think 10, 11 wins starts to become pretty realistic talk for this Ole Miss team.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I think we've delayed enough, Steven. Game of the week here in the SEC. Heck, all these are games of the week, really. But the night game, Alabama, Steven, on the road, number 17. That's still weird to see next to their name. At number 5, Georgia, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, nationally televised on ABC. Georgia, favored by 3.5 points. The over-under's 52.5. How about this, Steven? Kirby, we all know, probably you're sick of hearing it. 1-6 versus Bama. But how about this, Steven? 99-8 against all other opponents dating back to 2017. So, man, they got the voodoo on the dogs, no doubt. Who do you like in this one?
Mike, I'll start with, I'm hoping we get another classic, because last year's game was epic. And I'm hoping this year's game is in the same atmosphere. Also, it's funny to look at the series between these two and see that usually they play in the SEC championship or they play in the national championship. It's like the two titans of college football squaring off when they play. But there's a little bit more question this time around. You know, like Georgia's got the really good win at Tennessee, but I think Georgia's not really fully formed yet. Still a lot of questions on defense. You know, Gunnar Stockton, I think, is getting more comfortable by the game. And it'll be interesting to see now after that Tennessee game, after they've had a bye week, what does this Georgia team look like? And you mentioned it. Alabama has owned this series in recent memory. I think it's what, 9 out of 10 against Georgia. If you're if you're Alabama, I think there's a kind of back against the wall mentality here. You've already got one loss. Everybody kind of just writing off Alabama. They're not going to make the playoff. They're done. If they win on Saturday, we're talking about top 10 Alabama again, and we're talking about this team getting back on track. So there's a lot at stake here. It's either Alabama gets right, Georgia struggles against Alabama continue. And there's a lot of individual things here that are fascinating. You've got Gunnar Stockton's growth. You've got Ty Simpson, who seems like he can't miss the last 2 weeks, and he's going against a vulnerable Georgia secondary. I think what worries me if I'm Alabama is giving up 230 rushing yards to Florida State. Getting Tim Keenan back is a big deal, and I think that helps. But Georgia's offensive line might also be healthier and better this week than what we saw on the road against Tennessee. So I think both sides have some optimism on the injury front. I think given the struggles that Alabama's had on the road under Kalen DeBoer, 1-5 in their last 6 neutral or road games, it's going to continue on Saturday. Give me the Dogs 31, Alabama 24.
It's hard to argue against it. I mean, home field, hell, Georgia hardly ever loses. But when they do, it is to Bama. You know, hey, I've been asking this positively. Let me ask it negatively. If it goes as you just foretold, Stephen, that Bama falls to 2-2 on the season, which that's not unrealistic at all. But if that happens, do you like Alabama's chances to make the college football playoff?
It's a great question. I mean, I think they would have to win out. Now, saying that, I think we're in that new space where 9-3 gets you more into the conversation because of strength of schedule. And that will help Alabama for sure. Now, they need South Carolina to kind of pick it up. They need Auburn to probably be ranked. But they get Oklahoma and LSU at home and Vanderbilt. So they got a chance to still win a lot of games. I think if they lose on Saturday, I probably would probably have them at 9-3 to finish the year. But still, at 9-3, depending on how the rest of the season plays out, still keeps them in the playoff mix.
Mm-hmm. And you completely overlooked Vanderbilt for some reason there, Steve. I mean,
and Missouri.
I mean, Vanderbilt might be their toughest game. I don't know. But I think so. What are the odds if Georgia can get this one, slay the demon that they just simply cannot beat? What are the odds they go undefeated? Or is it still maybe that's a little too difficult?
Mike, I think it's hard for any team in college football to go undefeated. But I think looking at that schedule and just seeing Georgia and Texas both come to Athens, Georgia Tech, Auburn, they'll be tough. Don't want to overlook Mississippi State either. I think I would probably take Georgia to get to 12-0. Is that crazy?
That's pretty crazy. But no, not really. I mean, based on if they beat Tennessee, beat Alabama, maybe the two best teams they'll face. You know, you got to throw Texas in there as well. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that's crazy at all. But certainly not. I think I would take the under on. You can't really bet on that. But I think they'll drop a game. I really do. But I don't know where. But it's just so hard to. And we're just talking regular season here. But Yeah, I wouldn't count the dogs out. That's for damn sure. Let me ask you this, Stephen: a high scoring game, low scoring game. Does one favor Alabama, one favor Georgia, or does it all favor Georgia, you think?
It's interesting because I would say a high scoring game favors Alabama, but we just saw Georgia win a high scoring game against Tennessee. I think if you're Georgia, you would like this game to be a lot more lower scoring. Certainly, I think somebody in the comments brought it up about Alabama's inability to run the ball. And I think, you know, getting Jam Miller back is a big deal. That'll help. I don't know that it's necessarily going to solve everything. And I don't think Alabama needs to run for 200 yards. I think this is very Ty Simpson heavy attack right now. But I think higher scoring probably benefits Alabama because that means Simpson and Williams are playing well. Lower scoring probably plays more to Georgia.
Yeah. And this is not a shot at Kirby because I think it's beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's the best college coach in the country. But do you put any stock in old Kalen DeBoering being an elite big game coach? Because I hear you. What'd you say? One in five on the road or neutral site? But
last six at Alabama.
But hell, he's a big game coach. Do you put any stock into that?
I think so. I mean, we saw this last year with Georgia coming into Tuscaloosa. It seems like consistency has been a problem for Alabama. They went on the road and pounded LSU too last season. So they do tend to get up for these kind of games. And I think they're going to, I would be stunned if this game plays out for Alabama like it did against Florida State. Like, I think it'll be a four quarter game and not a game where Alabama looks like listless for two quarters or whatever.
All right, let me ask you this. Now, you're not predicting this. You said it was a close game. But I just want to throw this hypothetical at you. If Georgia absolutely stomps Alabama and just makes a mockery of the Crimson Tide, will that forever taint the Alabama logo? Maybe not the logo, but just the program under DeBoer. You know what I mean? Where it ain't Alabama anymore. I mean, hell, do we even storm the field after beating Alabama anymore? Are we fully removed from the Nick Saban terrorize all of us run if Alabama gets completely destroyed by Georgia on Saturday night?
I think that's kind of fair for the short term, almost simply because if Georgia blows out Alabama, I don't know that Alabama's a top 25 team come Sundays. Would that be fair?
So if I'm reading between the lines, Steven says, if Alabama beats Vanderbilt, they're storming the field.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Alabama fans are going to be storming the field. We beat five. We beat a top 25 team. Imagine that.
Man, how fast things change in college football, right? I guess kind of the way I think about Kalen DeBoer and Alabama is looking at what's happened so far and why I think this game is important in the rest of the season is because Alabama still has that like national championship every year kind of feeling there. If you just go back to being an 8-4 team, not only is that a perception thing, but it's a recruiting thing. And it's like, they were good, but they're not there anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that expectation window all of a sudden shifts more to Alabama's just closer to 8-4 type team. Now, if they win this game, I think the conversation is totally different. And we're getting closer to this team in that national championship conversation, if they go on the road, win this game.
I that's exactly where I was going to follow up on that. You know, because we're talking so bad about Bama. If they beat Georgia in Athens, not that you're outright predicting it, but could Alabama win the national championship if they're capable of going to Georgia in Athens and beating Kirby and company? Is this team capable of winning it all?
I think so. I don't think there's a dominant team in college football right now. I think there's a lot of really good teams. Like, I think Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Oregon. I'm just kind of like, I know I'm forgetting somebody, so I hope it's not a snub. I just think there's a lot of good teams. And I think, if Alabama wins this game, and I think there's a chance that the Florida State game is kind of like a one-off and they're closer to what we thought in the preseason. And if that's the case, if you can go to Georgia and Georgia's one of the top five teams in the country, you can win a national title. Mike, I also want to propose this to you. Start thinking ahead on Sunday. Let's just say Ole Miss wins. Let's just say Georgia wins and Texas A&M wins. I mean, think about what the top 10 to 12 of college football is going to look like. There's going to be a lot of SEC teams in there. And we're talking about a really crowded race down the stretch for playoff, for the conference championship and all that. And so I think there's the separation Saturday thing that, you know, we kind of laugh about is that we are kind of getting a really kind of clustered group of teams together, which is going to make for a fun week five and stretch down the season too.
Mm-hmm. And one team that's not losing this week, I can guarantee you, Steven, that's Texas. Shout out Zio. He gifted a membership, Steven. He's so happy they're not going to lose. He's gifted to Samwise. Samwise, welcome to
the family.
We got a Brodo in here. We got a Samwise. Now we just need a Gollum in here. But we appreciate you, Zio. We really do. And the Alabama fans, Steven, they are quite upset. I said they're going to storm the field. That was a joke. I don't anticipate you storming the field for beating Vanderbilt, but I would laugh my ass off if you actually did it. All right, Steven, we've made all our predictions, but we haven't heard your John Mateer lock of the week. Who'd you go with this week?
I've changed my opinion on this late in the week. I'm going to take Georgia only because it's three. Like, I actually like A&M as a lock, but it's right there on the edge. I like Georgia by a touchdown in my prediction, so... Ooh. Spread is three. I like seven. That's the one I feel the best about on Saturday.
So you are just completely sold Kalen DeBoering down the river, it sounds like.
I don't feel great. I don't feel, I should say, I feel good about picking the winners. Now I may be like way off this week. The spreads are a little murky for me this week.
Yeah. Yeah. I could say that because I don't know. I think. I haven't made my pick in that game either, but
what do you think about South Carolina in the 6.5? I thought that was on my radar too, but there's some trust issues with South Carolina.
The way they can't stop the run, I think Kentucky can make out a ball game.
Yeah.
But quarterback on the road, first time as SEC starter, that is a real cause for concern. He needs to play mistake-free football, and I have no trust in any of his receivers, really, outside of Law, perhaps. He's decent, but Kentucky's best receivers are tight ends this year. That's not a recipe for winning many conference games. So you might be onto something. We might be underrating Carolina just based on how poorly they've looked the last couple. And quite frankly, they looked better last week, but they had moments of awfulness, and it really blew up in their face on the road at Missouri.
Not only could South Carolina look better, there could be maybe a late touchdown or two. Shane Beamer trying to prove a point to Mark Stoops.
Will he wear his sunglasses at night? That's a question there. You know,
maybe they get the late touchdown. He pops on the shades.
All right, Steven, anything else before we hop off on this one?
Man, I hope everybody enjoys the games this weekend. It should be an awesome week five, and can't wait to join you guys on Monday to break it all down.
Absolutely. Before you go, Steven, as always, can you remind the cousins how to follow you and how to find your work?
Absolutely. You can read all my work over at AflonSports.com, and you can yell at me about bad predictions at AflonSteven on Twitter and StevenLCFB on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, they're coming, so be prepared, Steven. We appreciate you, and we appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll be back tonight here in just a couple hours, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. Cousin Shane, we'll be doing an SEC mailbag. Those are always fun, so we'll see you in a couple hours. But thanks again for watching, and we'll see you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC Podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC Podcast. Hail State.